So you've got the Ptolemies doing trade. They're doing pretty well. But they never really fit in with the Egyptians. They lived at Alexandria. The Ptolemies never mingled with the people. Alexandria was called, in their time, the city. The rest to the south was Egypt. So it was Egypt versus the city. All the Greeks lived in Alexandria, and there were 300,000 of them living in Alexandria. Administrative center of Egypt became Alexandria. In the south of Alexandria, it's all agrarian. You have the Egyptians, about 7 million of them. Now, if you were an Egyptian who wanted to rise quickly, you wanted to do well in government or something like that, you had to learn Greek. That became the language of trade, right? So during the time of Ptolemy, we have a history of Egypt written by an Egyptian priest named Manetho. Manetho. Called Aegyptiaca. Now that's the Greek for Egypt, Aegyptiaca. He is an Egyptian priest writing in Greek so that the Ptolemies can read about the history of the country they govern. And this is a book that is placed inside the library at Alexandria. Now, there are all kinds of stories of the Ptolemies doing this, doing that. But what is clear is they did great things, but in a Greek way. Now, Ptolemy I, a good Ptolemy, is succeeded by another good Ptolemy. And you know who he is, Ptolemy II, right? He has, of course, another second name. He's not Soter, Savior. He's Philadelphus. He is brother lover, right? Name means brother lover. And he does some interesting things. He increases the land that's cultivatable. He drains some swamps in the area called the Fayum so that there is even more land for more grain. Now, what is he going to do with the grain? He's going to sell it. They've got the port, they've got the lighthouse, they've got the bureaucracy for keeping track. They are going to grow as much as they can and export. They are going to export. He also, Ptolemy II, continues the library at Alexandria, continues it. And let me give you an idea of how into culture these guys were, these early Ptolemies. He commissions a translation of the Hebrew Bible called the Septuagint, the 70. Now, it's called the 70 because supposedly he had 70 rabbis come to translate the Bible, and their translations all agreed, and that became the Septuagint Bible. He wants to know about other people's religion. He is not an isolationist. He wants virtually every book in the world in his library. Ptolemy II is pushing ahead this Ptolemaic project of the library. To show you, just as an illustration of just how into books these people were, there was a law in Alexandria that when any ship came into the port, it was searched for books, for papyri. And if the library at Alexandria didn't have that book, it was taken off the ship, brought to the library, and a scribe would copy it. So the library would have it. But wait, it gets better. And then the copy was given back to the ship, and the library kept the original. So they were really after the best copy. I mean, they were the first book collectors. They were after the best copy, the best edition they could find. Now, Ptolemy II marries his sister. This is a tradition that all the Ptolemies will continue. They will marry their sisters, and it's really for two reasons. The first is there is an Egyptian tradition of kings marrying their sisters if necessary to keep the power in the family. There is even a legend, which we'll talk about next time, of Isis and Osiris, who are brother and sister, husband and wife, who found Egypt. And we'll talk about that next time. So by marrying his sister, in a sense, it's an Egyptian tradition that he's continuing. But the other reason is he's Greek, and his sister is a Greek, and they are going to stay together as Greeks. Almost continuously. For the next 300 years, the Ptolemies will intermarry, Greeks marrying Greeks, and they will run the country like a business. Next time, we're going to talk about the last Ptolemy, the famous Cleopatra, and she will end Egyptian civilization. See you then.